I decided to come up here before we got into more juicy stories. But yes, it has been a blessing. One thing I know, that the first 5 years being the most difficult, but that's when I became a mother for the first time. And Jennifer made me a mom. Thank you. And just being so difficult, I guess, because you put a man and a woman together. I used to think it was the cultural difference, but found out, no, it's a man and a woman, and God does it on purpose because he has a plan. Because if two of you are the same, one of you is not needed. So he put us together, and amazing things God taught me those 5 years is the same God who carried me through up to 29 years before we got married is the same God who will fulfill all my desires and will fill all my needs. And then my husband is the bonus. So thank you. And yes, I am so excited because I have had the Lord just brewing this message in my heart. Just like I've seen a lot of Cajun homes that they cook things and it takes a long time and they put it in the back burner and they keep it there and they have to stir it. And just like that, he kept doing that in my heart. And so Monday morning at my devotion time when I was sitting there, it was like the Lord started giving me the message. So I hope you receive it. And it is for mothers, grandmothers, women of God, and for everyone that has a mother or has had a mother in heaven living right now or anywhere. It's for all of you. So I pray that it will be a blessing to you. Lord, we come to you this morning and we pray, Lord, that this next few minutes, every word will come from you. We will receive it from you, Lord, that you will control my mind, my heart, my emotions, my tongue, and Lord, give whatever message you have for everyone that is here this morning, Lord. We pray in Jesus, your name. Amen. The verse that I want to take this morning is from 2 Timothy 2:20. And it says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor." It doesn't say that the gold is better than the silver or the wood and the clay. It just says that in a house there are many vessels, and they are different than one and another. But what makes them different is the honor and the dishonor. And it says, if we cleanse ourselves from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Today's message, I wanted to call it, "What would you like to be known for?" What would you like to be known for? But also, I wanted to call it, "Ready for the Master's Use." Ready for the Master's Use. But growing up, we knew, because my dad was a evangelist, and then we had a church in Lebanon, Salem Evangelistic Church. So we knew people in the church, as children, you saw them differently. We knew there was a sister, Lucine. We called it Lucine Quirik. And every time she would come to our house, she was a well-to-do woman, and she was an opera singer, so she sang at church. But all that didn't matter, because when she came to our house, we knew that she was coming to bring us chocolates, yes, and to bring us gifts, yes. But if she started praying, you had to sit there on that sofa, and you could not move till she was finished, sometimes 20 minutes. For a teenager or for a young girl, that felt like an hour. Because we knew if this woman came in the room, we were going to stay there till she finished praying, and then we could leave. Because mom had her eyes on us, and we couldn't move until she was finished. We had another lady that if we went to their house, we knew we were going to have good food to eat. We had another lady in the church that she was always making us clothes. So we were blessed, yes, but there's a difference in how you look at people and what you see and what they really are. So today, I'm going to bring up some names from the Old Testament. And these people were written, you know, in the Old Testament. And when we bring up their names, there's a few things written about some that we will later know what they were like or before, like Eve. If I say Eve to you, some of the women in the Old Testament, we remember the snake that spoke to her and changed the whole course of history. But Eve was created with God's hands. She was put next to Adam to be a helpmate. But some of the things we remember about Eve through the years and through thousands of years has been she spoke to the snake and she believed what the snake told her, and look what happened to us. And then I say Lot's wife. Terry calls her Mrs. Lottie. Lot's wife, when we say that, we think of the person that became a pillar of salt. But she was a woman. She was a mother. She had daughters, so she was a mother, and she must have had a favorite color. She must have been someone known in her city. She must have done other things. But there was that picture that stays with us when we say Lot's wife. And even Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. One sentence, and we remember things. So what do you want to be remembered for? If we were written, as the Apostle Paul said, as an epistle read by many, what would they say or write or remember about you? It is so important that what people around us, sometimes we only have one opportunity. And I remember the time when I got on an American airline. And if you know, from Baton Rouge, it's a wonderful airport to fly from. I'll just leave you there. But they have the smallest planes from here to Dallas, to Atlanta, to Houston, to Charlotte, to wherever. So whenever you have a carry-on, the first thing the stewardess, before she's even saying good morning to you, very few times they will say good morning to you before looking at your bag you're pulling. And I've done it over and over. And one time I came in, I don't know if I was anxious about something. I don't know what I was thinking, but she looked at me and she said, that one will not fit in here. And I got a little bit, the Hasmi came out from me. I'm Hasmi, my name is Hasmi. And those of you that know me, sometimes I can be a little bit, I don't know. I got a little upset and I said, yes, it will. And she said, no, it won't. And I said, I have done it before. It's going to fit. And so she got into that stewardess mode where I am in control here, and I got into the mode where I know what I'm doing. So anyways, I said, why don't you let me try? She goes, okay, go ahead. So all these people are sitting there very close. You know, you're walking by them, and I'm thinking, if someone knows me here, how embarrassing. I was arguing with the stewardess, and you know, you're going to be with her for 45 minutes, 1 hour, I can't remember, but it was horrible. I felt horrible inside. So anyways, I went and it fit. But when I sat down, the Holy Spirit in me said, that was not a very good attitude. And how many of you know, if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit then, he will come back again, and he will come back again. And sometimes he might not come back. But I felt like he was stirring me to go back and apologize to her for my attitude. And I was like, well, it fit. She didn't know, and I'm arguing with the Lord. Don't argue with the Lord. So I got up after we were in air. I went over to her, and I said, I'm sorry for speaking to you that way. And she looked at me, and she's like, it's okay. I said, no, it was not okay. But anyways, that was, you know, sometimes that's the only time they're ever going to know about the difference in our lives. That's the only time they're going to read the epistle or the Bible until they get to know the Lord for themselves. So if I come to the New Testament, let's look at some women in the New Testament. One of them is one of my favorites is Martha. If I say Martha to you, you think of, oh, Martha, Martha. You worry about too many things, but Mary has the better part. But then I'm so thankful that if we go on a little bit, we see Martha in a different light. Because when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, he came to Bethany. It says to the house of Lazarus that he loved so much. And Martha, who served them, she was a server. She was still serving them. It's not like Jesus said, don't ever be in the kitchen anymore. Because nobody would have eaten that day. But he was saying, find out what is the important things in life and put your energy on those things. Like John 6:27, the words of Jesus are in John 6:27, labor not for the food which perishes. He's not saying don't work, because another place it says if you don't work, you don't eat. But he's saying labor not. Don't put all your energies into things that are not for everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Put your things for the food which endures, but not the food that perishes. So where are you spending all your energies today? As mothers, as grandmothers, as daughters, as sisters, as friends, where are we spending most of our energy today? And the Lord is saying, don't labor for that which is going to perish, but labor for that which is going to endure. I was thinking about some of the things that happened to me this year, and one of them, I didn't ask Benjamin if it's okay to share, but I'm going to go ahead and share. But I went on the India trip because the Lord, a year ago this month, when Sister Teresa was here, the Lord put it on my heart to go to India. And I said, yes, Lord, I will go. And at lunch, we were sitting there, Terry and I and Sister Teresa, and Benjamin was going to join us, but he was late because he was driving the bus. But I was sitting there, and I told her, I said, I want to come to India. And she said, oh, that's a wonderful idea. And I said, I want to bring a team, and I had a few people in my head. As soon as we started talking, Benjamin came in, and before he even listened to what we were talking about, he turned to Teresa, and he said, I want to come to India. And I said, wait, I said it first. And she said, no, no, you guys can come together. And he was like, no, I don't think so, you know. And, I mean, I could see a college team with the women, you know, and all that. But she thought it was a great idea. So we ended up with our son, Benjamin, leading us to India. In fact, it was a humbling thing for a mother to be led by your son, because I had no idea about India. I'd never been there. And I trusted Benjamin with all the plans. And every now and then I would ask him, well, what about where are we going through in Europe? And he was like, it's okay, Mom. I think we're going to go through. And he would say things like, I think. And we're going to go, yes, maybe London. Maybe we're going to spend the night in London. He's just like Terry. And so I said, okay, Lord, you told me to go to India, so I'm going to trust you. And I know my son is doing great. And it was wonderful, and the places we went, of course, it wasn't anything that I had planned. It was all God's plan, and I trusted him. But one thing I didn't ask him about was the train ride from Taj Mahal to down to Bangalore. We were going to catch a train for 24 hours, and I didn't ask him about that. What train, whatever, until it started on the trip coming up, like 2-3 days. And I said, what about the train? Oh, yeah, which is going to be a sleeper, Mom. And I'm thinking, okay, a sleeper, you know, in my mind, you know how you think about, okay, we've been on Siberia trip for 24 hours, and we were on sleeper. Well, this was actually a little more than 24 hours. But I said, okay. But then I'm not a night person, and at 11 o'clock at night, we're at the train station, and we saw a lot of little rats, ratatouilles, whatever, those little things running around. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to look. You know, tracks in Lebanon, maybe there's places I've seen those. And so I was getting kind of anxious, and we're all standing around our suitcases. We're guarding our suitcases. When the train arrived, my heart just went. I mean, it just went like, oh, my goodness. But it was 12 midnight. The train arrived, and it's like 1930s. We're standing there at a train station, dark, and you have to get on, and it's going to go, like before you even have time to get to wherever. So we're standing in the aisle with our suitcases, and there's curtains everywhere. There are no doors, and there are people putting their hands out to see who's coming in. And all I saw was a crowded train for maybe 60, 70 people in this one compartment, and lots of bunks. And I looked at, I was right behind my son, which means that I got up right after him, and then the group followed. I don't know where Mark was, probably bringing up the caboose. But we got on there, and I looked at my son, and I said, I am not staying here. I said, you call the conductor and you get a first class ticket. I will pay for everyone. And my son spoke to me the words of the Lord. I believe the Lord made him say it. He looked at me and he said, Mom, and now he's taller than me. You know, when they were younger, you could talk to them like that. And I used to tell Benjamin, it doesn't matter. One day when you get taller than me, I'm going to look at you and I'm going to tell you what I want to tell you. But he looked down at me and he said, Mom, you are not above these people. What makes you think you are more special than them? And it made me realize, you know, you teach your children things through the years, they're going to remember. You teach them that we are not above other people. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Not just America, not just Canada, not just Mexico, not just China, not just Indonesia. God loved the world, and he gave his son for everyone. And so I want to say that at that moment I was like so joyful and said, oh, thank you, Lord, but I wasn't. I took my suitcase and I went and found my bunk, you know, and I think Pepper was on the top bunk and I was in the middle, and then somebody else that we didn't know was sleeping on the bottom bunk. And I mean, we all found our bunks, and I sat there and I put my suitcase, and I couldn't even sit because it was so close to the top bunk. But I halfway lay there with my clothes and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to not sleep. And I'm going to just wait till we get there, and I'm going to watch everybody so nobody. And we had like a night guard. We put people that we were supposed to wake each other up and watch. But as I was sitting there with my attitude, the Holy Spirit came to me and he said, why are you afraid? The same Lord that's with you in your home, the same Lord that's with you when you're flying, the same Lord that's with you, I am here with you right now. And a piece of the Lord came. And I want to show you that sometimes our personal person is not a vessel of honor. But what makes us a vessel of honor is when we are in the Master's hands. Because it doesn't matter if you are gold, which has been refined. You're going to be refined over and over until the pure image of Christ is seen in you. But if we are gold or silver or wood or earthen vessels, what we carry in us makes us a vessel of honor or dishonor. We all have our light. And Jesus said, let your light so shine so that the glory goes to the Father. But there are times where you come up with things that your personal person, your real person that comes out is not glorifying and honoring the Lord. But then, what you do with that? Because the Holy Spirit is there to teach and sanctify and to correct and to remind us of things. That Holy Spirit will make us into the vessels of honor that we can be used for the glory of the Lord. One of the verses that I was thinking about was 2 Peter, where Jesus said, Peter said, we are the workmen. We are the laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, all these things, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you might grow thereby. The pure milk of the word. The word we put in us sanctifies us. The word we put in us reminds us of who God is. And then if indeed you taste it that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by man, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are, and you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, chosen generation. We are a priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you know, that train trip meant a lot to me because a few hours later, I was sitting there reading my word and the Bible, God's word, and a man, 73 years old, he told me he spoke perfect English. They were doing a trip with his whole family, about 15 of them, of all the gods or whatever they worship in India, of all those places. And I told him, I said, well, let me introduce you to the true God. I said, let me introduce you to the one that is in this that I'm reading right now. And he looked at me, and I started talking to him about the Lord. And he was showing me pictures on his phone about the places that they were going. And I said, well, let me show you something about Jesus and his tomb. He's not there. He is alive. And the man said, well, come meet my family. And I thought, Lord, a few hours ago, I didn't want to be here. But if I had stayed in my corner and just felt sorry for myself, then I would not have shown my light to this one person. And I had verses with me, so I gave him the verses, and he took it. He put it in his wallet. I don't know what will happen, but he spoke perfect English. I could explain to him exactly what was on my heart. And I believe the Lord brought him in my life to show me that, you know, you can stay in your corner and feel sorry for yourself. You can stay in where you are and say, okay, you know, this is happening to me, and I don't like it, Lord, and whatever. But you can also say, Lord, why have you brought me here? Why am I here? Change me from the vessel of dishonor to a vessel of honor. Praising the Lord. And I have, on Monday morning, the Lord gave me those verses where when you read Luke 24, it is an amazing chapter because it is right when Jesus has come back to life. He is resurrected. And so it says, Mary Magdalene and some of the other women, they came on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. They and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. Here was Mary Magdalene, that if you had just listened to what happened to her, you would have said, this is the one that had seven demons cast out of her. But you know what? It all changed. Jesus changed her life. People didn't remember that anymore because she's the first one that speaks to Jesus. She's the first one that sees Jesus. But before she speaks to Jesus, they are coming and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. They were angels. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, the angels said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Now, this is the word I want to bring up. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. What amazes me, they missed a little detail. He told them over and over. He said, they're going to take me. They're going to crucify me. And Peter said, no, Lord, not so, Lord. And he said, yes, they are. And then he told them, on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Now, I'm going to put on my teaching cap, and I'm going to be like a teacher that will say, we have to remember the words of Jesus. How do you remember things? My mom, when we were young, she would make us write it over and over and repeat it over and over. And I'm so thankful for that I have learned many things that way, because it will stay with you. Well, the way I wanted you to remember is take out the little cards that they were supposed to give you, the orange and the hot pink. And I chose that. My brother, it's good to have a brother. My brother Danny is has a printing press in Pasadena. And so I called him and I said, I want these things printed for Sunday. Can you do it? And he, without doubting or whatever, he said, I will try. And he did it, and he sent it, and now you have it in your hands. I wanted you to have the basic ABCs, the basic ABCs, because the next verse, number 8, Luke 24, it says, and they remembered his words. They remembered his words. Yes, Jesus said so many things. John 14, 15, 16, and 17. His words to his disciples before he would go away. And they are so important because 17 is a prayer so beautiful. And we are included in that. He said, and those that will believe on me because of this message that these disciples will preach. And that's us. So he said some things there that I had it printed out. And it's one of them is John 15, and I'm going to close with this. I want you to look at these that Jesus said. I am the vine, you are the branches. That means that a branch, when you cut off a branch, and we had some trees taken out yesterday, and I was crying inside while they were cutting them outside, and whatever reason for the foundation of the house or whatever, but I just saw these branches on the ground that you know once branches are cut off, they're not going to live anymore. All the branch has to do is stay attached to the vine. And he is the vine. If you say it is so hard, I don't know how to do this situation that I'm in. I don't know what to do. All you have to do is abide. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, Jesus, you can do nothing. Nada. Nothing. So I am the vine. And then verse 9, John 15, 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. This morning, the basics, if you don't remember anything I said, remember these three basics, A, B, C. Because John wrote, he said, if we wrote everything that Jesus did and taught, and even the world, all the books in the world, everything will not be able to contain it. But I want to give you the first three that I feel like it's the A, B, and C. And you can go and you can make your own up to Z and find out what Jesus said. But the A is abide in him. As a mother, as a grandmother, as a woman of God today, I want to encourage you that whatever you do, the basic A is abide in him. And then if you abide in him, the B will be you will bear much fruit. There is, because it's going to come from the vine. It's going to come. And the fruit is love, joy, peace, yes, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Well, how many of us pray for things like this? And then the Lord gives you an opportunity that day to grow in that situation that you have prayed for. But then we say, oh, I don't like that. I don't want that. But all we have to do is abide in him, and we will bear much fruit. And the C is continue in my love. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me. Isn't that amazing? That as the Father loved Jesus, he said, I love you. But you have to continue in his love. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. I'm so thankful, and I thank Janice for doing the gifts, because we just want to bless you and say, you know, yes, blessed Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day. Be feeling special today. It's so wonderful. Terry had my flowers yesterday because he knew how nervous I would be this morning, and I probably wouldn't see him. But it was just such a blessing to have that in my life. But to remember that as the Father has loved Jesus, he's saying to you this morning, I have loved you. Continue in my love. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning that your word is truth. From the beginning to the end, Lord, you are God. We have an example, Lord Jesus. We have you. And you said, looking unto Jesus, we can look at you. For the joy set before you, Lord, you endured the cross. And now you're sitting at the right hand of the Father. But you told us, Lord, as he loved you, you love us today. Let each one, each person, yes, each mother, each grandmother, each daughter, each child feel your love today, Lord. And let us continue in that love. So others will know that we belong to you, Lord, and that we will draw them to you, Lord, the fountain of living waters. We thank you for who you are. We praise you in this place, Lord, today. In your name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.